y'all, it's Amelia Rose, and welcome to C'est la Me. If you are listening to this episode, the day it comes out, happy Valentine's Day, or happy Ash Wednesday, anyway, I hope that you're doing well. I'm not going to talk very long because we have a guest on the podcast. I'm very excited. We have Alana Dunn. She is the host of several different podcasts, including Seeing Other People and Life in Progress, and she is super, super cool. And she came on to talk about all things dating and relationships. She's kind of an expert, so I'm really excited for you to hear our interview. So let's get into it. Okay, everybody, we have Alana here.
Hi, everyone. How's it going?
Okay, so to start off, let everybody know who you are, what you do, and any, like, a quick rundown.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So I'm Alana Dunn. I'm 29 years old. I live in New York City with my dog Barkley and my fiance Jake. And I host the Dating and Relationships podcast, Seeing Other People. And I am also the co-host of a podcast called Life in Progress with Carly Silverman, which is all about adulting and navigating everything in your 20s, from dating to career to friendship and everything else. And I've been working in the dating space for 6 years now. I do dating coaching. I help people with their dating app profiles. And really, my whole goal with all of the work I do is to help people feel less alone and more empowered in their dating lives.
That's awesome. That's very much needed.
Yes.
So yeah, let's start off. You were Hinge's, let me know if I got this right, lead content creator?
Correct.
And so what did that teach you? Did that give you any, like, special insight into at least online dating, if not just the dating world in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So I worked at Hinge running their social media for a little over 2 years. And as their lead content creator, and this, I was this, like, very public facing persona of their app and their platform, I was creating video content all the time to help people have more success on Hinge and in their dating lives. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest takeaway that I had was, it was really this turning point about a year in. So when I first got there, I very much had this mindset of, okay, like, this is my job, but I don't want it to impact my personal life. And I mm-hmm. never want somebody to not want to date me because of what I do for work. And so mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it very surface level when I create video content. No one's ever going to know about the dates I'm going on or if I'm in a relationship or not, because that's not what I'm here to do. And there was about, it worked. Like, don't get me wrong, it was a fine way to do things. But about a year mm-hmm. in, I was going through a breakup, and literally, like, I had flown across the country to LA to see my long distance boyfriend, and I got broken up with, and I'm in this hotel room and I'm sitting there, like, hysterically crying. And I'm like, okay, like, I got to get back to work. And I'm like, I can't possibly just go create a video encouraging people right now when I feel like I just got my heart ripped out of my chest. And I did something very, very different than anything I had done before for Hinge or on my own. And I filmed this video where I'm still, like, red, puffy, teary eyed. And I'm like, so you guys probably didn't know this, but I was in a relationship. I no longer am. And I know you guys always come to me for advice, but I wanted to kind of turn the tables and, you know, ask you for advice or words of wisdom on how to get through this, because right now I don't feel like I can. And it was a huge turning point in my career, in my perception of the dating world, because the floodgates mm-hmm. opened of people reaching out over DM, over email, not giving advice, but thanking me for showing that side of dating. And what I realized from that is, no matter how much in any moment that we feel like no one's ever understood what we're going through, or we're in the most pain that anyone's ever been in, or we just had the worst dating experience of all time, no one could possibly relate, the truth is, we're all struggling in dating, in relationships, in our confidence, in finding hope. And the greatest thing we could possibly do for ourselves and for the people around us is be open about that and admit that we're struggling and listen to each other, because we all want to feel less alone. But the only way to do that is by being vulnerable. And so I really, from that, it changed my entire outlook on my job, on the dating space in general. I started going into my dates with a different mindset too, where mm-hmm. before I wanted to impress people and keep it more surface level and just be like that cool girl. And I'm like, no, that's not real. Like, what's real is opening up about the shit that I've been through and who I am. And I wholeheartedly believe like that is why I am where I am now in my career and in my personal life.
Wow. Dang. I mean, that's a productive breakup, to be honest.
Right? Yeah, I got a lot to thank that ex for.
Yeah. So when you were at Hinge, you were also co-hosting their podcast or hosting their podcast?
Yeah. So I started the podcast Dating Sucks for them, and I brought in a co-host. And that was the first time I ever had any sort of peek into the podcasting world. But yeah, that's where it all began.
So how did that idea, was that your idea to be like, oh, we should do a podcast? Or was that kind of pitched to you?
Yeah, no, it was entirely my idea. I had just gone on this journey of starting to open up about dating and how it was impacting me and kind of bringing people together and creating more community amongst the people who followed Hinge. And I was like, okay, you know what? These like 60-second, 2-minute, 3-minute videos are like helpful, but I feel like we could be so much more helpful if we were having conversations like at length and could also talk to other people on them. And I ended up pitching it. I kind of brought it up to my boss of like, oh, I feel like we should start a podcast. And my boss was kind of like, okay, like go start a podcast. And it was very much like a startup environment when I was there, or at least like when I started out there, like the first half of it. And so I had this idea. I was like, okay, like I want an older male co-host to, you know, give opposite perspectives and, you know, be able to debate mm-hmm. things. And they're like, okay, do you have anyone in mind? And I was like, you know what? There's this guy I went on a few dates with a few months back, and we talked about a lot of dating things, and I feel like he'd be great. And so I reached out to this guy that I had had a crush on and had been on a bunch of dates with, and he ended up being my co-host.
Wow. That's, I don't know that I would have the guts to do that, but like, that's so cool. Like, I'm honestly super impressed. I didn't know that story. So that is super neat. So when you started seeing other people, were you drawing on your expertise and like experience with Dating Sucks, or were you like, okay, I kind of want to do something like that, but new? Or what was kind of your thought process?
So I actually ended up getting let go from Hinge. They stopped doing social media in November of 2020. And so with that, I lost my job, which as I was, my job description was like the face of Hinge. And so I was very shocked and blindsided. I thought I had so much job security, but I lost my job and I immediately knew I found this thing that I love to do that I feel like makes such a positive impact on so many people, and I'm going to find a way to go do it. So I'm still literally sitting there in my Zoom call with my chief marketing officer and the head of HR being told that I no longer have a job, and I'm texting my friends saying I'm starting a podcast. And I just knew I was not going to apply to jobs. I wasn't going to go anywhere else. Like, I believed in what I had to offer. And I was like, I will freelance. I will make ends meet in whatever way I need, but I'm going to give this a real shot because I really think that there's something here. And about a month and a half, 2 months later, first episode of Seeing Other People came out.
Wow. And so what was that process between being let go and then really seeing your first episode? Like what all, that seems like a really kind of short amount of time to launch this whole thing.
Yeah. You know, that waiting period was more like losing a job is in a way a type of breakup. And I was in this place with Hinge where, again, like I had found this thing I love to do. And there was like, after the first season of Dating Sucks ended, there was this big waiting period of seeing like, will we be able to do a second season? And I was itching to do it so badly. Like all I wanted to do was to keep creating content. Like I now put out 4 podcast episodes a week between all my different projects. And so I was like, I just want to be doing this. Like I want to be creating, I want to be talking to people, I want to be helping. And I felt so held back from doing that. And so as I was getting very frustrated at work. And so once I got let go, it wasn't like I had to, you know, start from scratch and come up with all these ideas. It's like I had been dying to do this thing and finally I could. So really what happened in between was I like processed this career breakup, and a friend had sent me an adult coloring book, but that had like curse words on every page because that's what a friend had sent her when she got let go from her job earlier that year. And I literally spent 6 weeks just like coloring my feelings and, you know, start like recording the episode, prepping some social content, and then like the first week of January in 2021, I just hit go.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so what are your favorite? Well, first of all, if people aren't familiar with the podcast, tell them your format. And then also tell me what are your favorite episodes to record? Because I really do love how you release episodes.
Thank you. Yeah. So seeing other people, there's a few different types of episodes, but the main two are on Tuesdays, I bring on expert guests. So I'll have a lot of therapists on or dating coaches, people who can really give expertise and actionable advice on how to date better, how to become more confident, how to, you know, overcome your anxious attachment and be more secure within yourself so that you can be more secure in your relationship, things like that. That's really like self-help or try this thing that's new, push yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone and have more success in dating. So actionable advice from expert guests. On Tuesday, sometimes I'll also have other content creators, influencers, people who are really good storytellers and really passionate about talking about a specific subject within dating. So those are my Tuesday episodes. But I think the heart of the podcast is what happens on Thursday with, I have a series called Unfiltered, and I have my listeners come on. Most of the time they come on anonymously and they share what they've been through in their lives, in their dating lives, in their relationships, and how they overcame it and what they wish they knew when they were going through it. And this is everything from dating, like how having an eating disorder impacts your dating life, to dating with ADHD, to dating after losing a parent or a sibling, to having to, you know, open up on a date about something really traumatic that happened in a past relationship. There's really no topic that's off limits. And it's so special and empowering to hear normal people sharing their real stories, because it all goes back to, you know, what I figured out after that breakup when I was in that hotel room in Los Angeles, which is we've all been through so many similar struggles. We've all felt so many similar things. And all we want to do is know that we're not alone, and we're not. But people are so afraid to talk about what they've been through. People are afraid to be judged. People don't have the space or the platform to talk about it. And so I really try with these episodes to allow people the space and the platform to do that by handing the mic to them. And it's so special. It's so empowering. I mean, those are absolutely my favorite episodes. And it's an honor to me that people feel comfortable coming on and opening up in a conversation with me, knowing that thousands of people are going to hear it, because that's absolutely terrifying to do.
Mm-hmm. No, I love listening to those episodes. Those are my favorite ones to listen to, because I'm like, I'm also super impressed about the different avenues you explore with that. Like, you get very specific and very niche. And I guess given your expertise in dating from like Hinge and then your podcast and all that, it's to be expected. But there are certain episodes that I'm like, I never thought of that, but I really am interested and I want to listen. And then other people who I'm like, absolutely, like, I can tell by the title, you and I are in the same boat. So let's listen and be able to, like, you know, either celebrate or commiserate or just, you know, relate to each other. So those are so fun.
That makes me happy that you enjoy them so much. It like really makes, like, my heart is happy right now. It is so crazy. I mean, there are topics that sometimes I'll get an email pitch from a listener and I'm like, that seems like a really, like, intimidating topic for me to approach, because I'm not an expert in every field. I never want to say the wrong thing or say something that could upset someone. And so, like, sometimes I'll have to, like, do research into a specific topic before, just so I feel, like, more confident going into having this very delicate conversation. But that's, I think, one of the most important reasons, like, I have to be doing this, because we never know. Even if you see a topic and it's something that you can't relate to, you never know who you're going to be sitting across the table from on a first date and what they're going to open up to you about their experiences. You also never know, this could happen to your best friend, and you want to be able to show up for that person, whoever it is, in the best way. And so learning what someone's experience is like, whether you can relate to it or not, you can at least understand, like, oh, well, if this does happen, like, here's something I can say that would be appropriate in the situation, or that would make them feel supported and seen and heard. And there's just so many different topics that I think are so important and just really are not spoken about enough. And it's just, yeah, it's so cool.
No, it's neat to kind of just hear like, oh, so-and-so is in the same boat as I am. Like, weird, I thought I was the only one. Or,
Yep.
you know, you hear stories about people who, you know, have this issue or are like I'm 24 and I've dated people, but I've never like had a boyfriend. And you definitely have episodes where people are like, I'm this age and I've never had a boyfriend. And I'm like, they sound very normal. So this gives me hope, you know?
Yeah, I've had a lot of episodes like that lately. Everyone's coming out of the woodwork now. I feel like one set it off and now everyone wants to talk about it. I'm like, great, because there are so many other people in that boat, but everyone feels alone.
I know everyone's like, I'm the only one out of like, either my friend group or just like in my own head, like I'm the only one. And it's not true, but it's neat that you have those episodes. Something else that you do that I love is sharing dating wins on your Instagram. When did you start that? And like, what are the answers that have kind of struck you or impacted you the most?
Oh my God, I don't know when I started doing this. Maybe I think it started sometime in 2023. I don't know what exactly prompted me to, but I feel like I was just hearing so much negativity and I was seeing so much negative self-talk amongst my listeners. And so much of what we see on social media is either negative about dating or makes us feel badly about where we're at in dating. And I just started thinking about it. And yeah, dating sucks. Like, I literally had a podcast called that. But there are so many positive things that are happening in your dating life, in your personal life, in your relationships at all times, even if you're not where you want to be, even if you feel like you're not having any success in dating, there's still wins happening everywhere. And any aspect of your life, whether it's like you're focusing on dating wins or career wins or self-care wins, whatever, like everything gets easier when you can focus on the positives and when you can focus on what you are accomplishing. And so I just posted, I think it was like one question box. I'm like, tell me something good that happened in your dating life. Because even if you went on a first date and it didn't lead to a second date, but you had fun or you got to try a new restaurant that you had never heard of and you liked it, or you found a new first date outfit. Like, those are all wins that you can take with you from that date. Even if the date didn't turn into a second date, even if you got ghosted or rejected after, there were still positive things that happened on that date. And so I posted a question box asking people, and people loved it. And I was like, wow, like there is so something here. And now I do it every Sunday, and it's so special. I think the ones that stand out to me the most are, over time, I've been able to see, well, not only a lot of people, like every week will update on situations and I can see who's
Oh.
updating me on what, but no one else can because to everyone else, it's anonymous when I share the responses. But I think it's really powerful to see people who say, like, I recognize that a situation wasn't serving me and I was able to walk away from it. Or seeing people actually take this dating wins mindset and put it to use and say, like, it didn't go where I wanted it to go, but I learned XYZ from it. Or I got my heart broken, but I'm still able to find wins. Like, even just seeing people really like embrace the dating wins concept, that has been so special to me because it's like, wow, this thing really did make a difference.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I, especially with your like positive viewpoint and perspective, I think that's super valuable. Like that's sometimes just a huge chunk of the battle. Just like, just think positive. You're not, why are you so convinced that things are not going to end up right? Whatever. Like I always talk to my mom and I'm like, oh, like sometimes I feel as though I'm the only person who's doesn't have a boyfriend or I'm never gonna find one, and I get all like down in the dumps about it. And she's like, okay, but then you could spin it and say like, okay, you've never had like a really bad breakup, or you've never had this. And you know, even if I were to have had a really bad breakup, you can find positive. I'm not with the wrong person anymore, you know, whatever. And so my mom is the best at spinning things in a positive way and just being like, you know, I think that this energy is better spent on just being able to like recognize positive, and you know, obviously strive towards what you're gonna try and do if you want to date and everything. But you don't need to just be so like fatalistic about everything.
Absolutely. No, I love that your mom can like give you that motivation to look at things that way. I think it really does make such a big difference. And yeah, that's not to say it doesn't still suck and hurt to like feel the way you feel. Like, of course, your feelings are still valid. But when you can look at those and find those positives or recognize that, okay, well, you haven't gotten your heart broken. Exactly. You haven't been through a bad breakup, or you get to spend time with yourself and you've really gotten to figure out who you are. And how cool is it that you still get to meet the person? Like, you still get to meet your person. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened yet. That's so exciting. Like, I mm-hmm. wish I could re-meet my now fiance and like re-date him from the beginning, because that was such a special time. And yeah, I got my heart absolutely ripped into shreds prior to that, but that's okay because it led me to where I am now.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to somebody who is maybe in your situation, just going, or situation you were in, going through a really bad breakup, from the perspective of like, okay, I went through that and I'm engaged, you know?
Yeah. I love that question. I mean, there's so much. I think the first thing that I would say is, just because it didn't work out doesn't mean that it won't work out. So I think a lot of us, when we get broken up with, or when a relationship ends and it wasn't our choice, we internalize that as, I'm not good enough to be someone's partner, or this person had me and they didn't want me anymore, or I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy of this person's love, there's something wrong with me. But that is absolutely not the case. I think it's really helpful to zoom out from the situation. This is so much easier said than done, and time helps a lot. But to zoom out and realize, like, when it comes to dating and relationships, it's not going to work out until it works out. And you will be able to pinpoint why it didn't work out with this person. It might take weeks, months, maybe a year or two, but you will be able to realize, like, oh, there are so many reasons why, yeah, that breakup did make sense. And maybe I couldn't see it at the time, but maybe deep down I knew. And thank God I'm not with that person, because that's not the type of relationship that I want for the rest of my life, or that's not the type of person I could actually build a future with. Like, these answers always will reveal themselves in time. You have to be open to reflecting and asking yourself hard questions. But I think realizing, like, everyone goes through breakups, it's not supposed to work out with everyone. And mm-hmm. embrace the fact that, like, yeah, heartbreak sucks. Getting hurt sucks. Getting broken up with really sucks. But how special is it that you were able to tap into a part of yourself that could, like, love so deeply? The fact that we're able to do that as humans and as individuals is incredible. And if it felt this good this time, think about how much better it's going to feel when it's actually the right person and the right relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the last thing I'll say, super true. The last thing I'll say is, every single breakup, like, I literally felt like I was dying from some of my breakups. They all made me so much stronger. They were horrible, so, so painful to go through. I would not take any of them back. I would not undo it. I would not do anything differently. I'm so grateful for every single one of them, because they made me exactly who I am today.
That's super valuable for people like who don't have like their happy ending, and they're not like in an established like good relationship or engaged or anything, to hear, because like, you don't sugarcoat it. You're not like, yeah, everything's going to be magic and rainbows. And like, you just have to, you know, sometimes yeah. You just get really sick of hearing people. You're just like, stop. But like, you're super realistic about it. You're very like, yes, it does stink. It really like, it can be like a hard process, but it will work out in the end if you just keep at it.
Yeah. And recognize that, like, they call it going through a breakup. Like, you don't just snap your fingers and you're through it. You have to go through it. You have to feel all of the feelings and let yourself yeah. have those days where you can't get out of bed. Like, that's okay. That's part of the process. Let yourself slowly but surely work yourself back up and find that strength. Like, you mm-hmm. will get through it. You will. It might take longer than you want to, but you're going to get there. Like the sun is going to continue to rise the next day, and you will slowly but surely feel better.
Wow. Well, that's very motivating. Because sometimes you just feel like, oh my gosh, I just keep trying, and it like doesn't work out or whatever. And so that's just really nice to hear. But as far as so your work and like dating and everything, do you have any like just general dating tips that you give, or just like does it depend on a person's specific situation?
I can definitely give like some of the biggest things I've learned over the years and biggest mistakes I see people making. I mean, I could also give situational advice, but I think there's a lot that can be more like blanket. Yeah. I think
Cool.
the first thing I would say is there is so much noise out there with social media. There are so many people telling you this is the right way to date. You have to follow this rule. You can't do this after a date. You have to behave like this in order for someone to want to be with you. And it is so hard to ignore that when it's seemingly everywhere. And you open social media and you see seemingly happy couples all over your feed. And you're like, oh, well, those are happy couples. And then here's somebody telling me that I have to follow this rule in order to accomplish that. My absolute biggest piece of advice I would give to anybody is to not follow the quote unquote dating rules and figure out what works for you. How is it possible that there's one set of dating rules that works for all of us when you and I are completely different? We have completely different personalities, backgrounds, past relationship and dating experiences, past traumas, ways we were raised. Same with even me and my best friends. As much as we think we're so similar, we all have had different experiences, and those shape the way we date. They shape the things that we're attracted to. They shape the things that upset us or that cause us anxiety. And so, how is it possible that one set of rules will work for everybody? It's not. And you have to figure out what works for you. And that goes for, maybe don't send a screenshot to your group chat of eight friends and ask what you should respond. Maybe don't ask for advice for every single thing, or don't try and play it cool and act like the chill girl if that's not who you are. You have to make choices that feel right for you, and you'll make mistakes along the way, but you'll learn from them. And so, really, experimenting, figuring out what feels good and what doesn't feel good, and being yourself the whole way through. Because if you try and be somebody else, if you try and respond the way your best friend who's like really witty in their texting skills responds, like that's not you. And you never want to convince somebody to want to be with a version of you that isn't who you really are. That doesn't feel good. You want to know that somebody's with you because they know the real you and they want more of that person. And nothing feels worse than playing all the games, following all the rules, playing hard to get, making someone chase you, and then finally being like, okay, great, now we can be together. But guess what? You just manipulated somebody into wanting to be with you, and they don't actually know who you are. And you then will feel pressure to keep up this facade and this mask that you put on. And all you want out of dating is to be yourself with somebody. So be yourself.
But it's just like super simple advice, but oh my gosh, it's sometimes so difficult.
Yeah.
Especially if you think like if you have this mindset of like, oh my gosh, I like him or I have a crush or whatever, but like I have to pretend to be somebody else because that's the only way I'm gonna get it. I'm like, well, then if he's not into you, he's not into you. Like, there's no
Yeah.
point in trying to pretend to be somebody else.
Yeah, and think about it, like almost let someone's disinterest in you be unattractive to you. Like, why would you want to be with somebody who doesn't want to be with you? And someone, I was talking to somebody about this with like career too. Like anytime I so badly wanted a job and I felt like I had to impress this company and like convince them to want to hire me, those were not the jobs for me. Like a job interview, meeting friends, whatever it is, it should all feel like comfortable and easy. And you don't want to, even if it's like the coolest guy in school or the person you've always had a crush on, like if you feel like you can't be yourself around them, like why would you want to date them?
Yeah. I feel like people especially me, I'm like a people pleaser, whatever. I want everyone to be like, to like me or be impressed with me or whatever. And so sometimes I confuse, oh, I like this guy versus I just really want him to be like impressed by me. And the more he's like not impressed by me, the more I'm like, well, like, you got to be impressed by me. Come on.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have a problem with like just dropping things. And I'm like, how easy would that be just to like accept on like night one, he's not really impressed. And then I'm like, boom, done.
Yeah.
Instead of like a months long thing.
It's hard because like we want that validation like by nature, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think I've been in so many relationships where situationships where I never felt completely comfortable being who I was. And for, it's like easy for me to say it now, but I wish I could go back and shake myself and be like, Anna, like, why do you think this is your person if you don't feel comfortable being your weirdest, silliest self the way you are with your friends? Like, if you want this relationship to last, you have to feel completely comfortable and safe and not like you're trying to impress them or, you know, keep them liking you. Like, you should want somebody who just likes you for you, all the weird quirks and silly things about you. That's what makes you you. And the right person is going to see all of those things. And if somebody sees those things and doesn't like it, then that's not the right person. And that's okay.
Super true. Okay, so you mentioned situationships. So I have to ask, like, what are your thoughts on situationships?
They don't feel good.
No.
I'm not going to say never, but they rarely once a situationship, almost always a situationship, you know, because situationships are really defined by lack of communication and then making assumptions on where we're at, where we could be, where this is maybe going or not. And the foundation of any relationship is communication. And so if you're finding yourself with somebody, maybe you're a few dates in, maybe you're a few months in, and you don't know what's going on. You don't know, are we dating other people or not? Are they actually interested in me? Do they want a relationship? Like, what is this? What do they think of me? If you don't know any of these things a few months in with somebody, like, you are, first of all, setting yourself up probably for failure and probably wasting your time too, because it shouldn't be that hard. You have to communicate. You have to express what you're looking for, find out what they're looking for, because there's nothing wrong with if you and I were on a first date and we're hitting it off and I ask what you're looking for and you say you want a relationship and I say, oh, like, that's awesome. Like, yeah, like, I think I'm kind of just like dating to date right now. I'm really busy with work, so I don't think I want anything serious. That's fine. But what wouldn't be fine is us both having those intentions, not sharing them, continuing to spend time together. Suddenly we're like 8, 9, 10 dates in. I want to, were you casual or was I casual? You wanted a relationship. I was casual.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, wow, we're like 7, 8, 9, 10 dates in. To me, that means that this is going somewhere. And to me, I'm like, oh, this person's super chill. And you're like, they're fine just chilling. Like, that's not fair to either of you. And that's how people get hurt. And that's how situationships happen. So you gotta communicate. Otherwise, you're just doing yourself a disservice. And on the flip side, if we're on a date and you want something serious and you ask me what I'm looking for, and I also want something serious, you asking me what I'm looking for isn't gonna scare me away. If anything, someone who wants something serious and gets asked what they're looking for is gonna be attracted to the fact that that person asked you what they're looking for. That shows intention. It shows maturity. You're not going to scare away someone who wants the same thing.
Yeah. And like, I think, especially on the girls' end, we hate having to like end it with a guy because it's just like awkward, not even dating, but just being like, I'm not, you know, I don't see this going places, whatever. But like, I would rather communicate that and not waste their time, their energy, their money, whatever, than just string them along and just kind of be like, oh, well, I mean, they don't dislike taking me out on dates, so it's okay, you know?
Yeah. I mean, listen, like, rejecting people is so awkward. I think a lot of us, when we get in that position, or I feel like a lot of ghosting happens because people feel like it's mean to reject someone, but it's actually nicer to reject someone than to let it drag on. Especially, think about it, if, like, think about the times where you've liked somebody and you can't tell, like, are they ghosting me? Am I going to see them again? Am I going to hear from them again? Is it fading? Like, what's happening? Like, that anxiety and that not knowing is probably 20 times worse than just getting that text of, hey, it's been fun getting to know you. I don't feel the connection. Like, that text stings for a little bit. It does hurt, but then you get to move on and you have your answer. And so it's always better to give or get that answer than to, let it drag out. Like, it's actually the kind thing to reject somebody that you're not interested in. Let them move on. Let them go.
Yeah, it's the same thing with like applying to jobs. If you don't get another interview, but like they haven't said you're not a right fit, whatever, you're kind of like, what is this? I don't know what's going on. I would much rather get like, sorry, like thank you for coming in, but we're not interested, because that way I can make decisions and I can move on with my life.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah.
It's all communication.
Yes. Okay, so last question. We have Valentine's Day coming up. Actually, I think this episode will release on Valentine's Day, which I think is fitting. So what advice do you have for single women who maybe who have never dated or just who don't have a boyfriend this Valentine's Day? What advice would you give them on just kind of navigating and kind of keeping some positivity?
Love that you asked this question. I think this is really important for people to actually think about when going into a day like Valentine's Day that could be triggering or upsetting to them. And I remember, like, I spent most Valentine's days of my life feeling single and alone and questioning what's wrong with me for not having somebody who wants to spend Valentine's Day with me and realizing, okay, how can I get through this day with the least amount of reminders that it's Valentine's Day? How can I let this be a day? Just let it be a Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't know what day it is. Just let it be a day. And I think the best way to do that, and I did this once and it was incredible, get the hell off of social media. There is no need. If you know that every time you open Instagram or TikTok and you see a video or pictures of happy couples or everyone's posting on their story wishing their partner a happy Valentine's Day, and you know that that's going to make you feel shitty, why are you going to subject yourself to that? You don't need to see that. You don't need to look at it, because what happens on Valentine's Day is it feels like every single person in the entire world is in a relationship. And you're not. And first of all, that's not true. Second of all those people who are posting, like, I love you so much, my best friend, our first Valentine's Day, our 10th Valentine, whatever, they are not necessarily happy, despite the pictures of them looking so happy and in love and the emotional messages that they're writing publicly. Like, I think the happiest couples actually don't show that off on a daily basis or on Valentine's Day. So remember
Yeah.
that. But yeah, don't put yourself through the pain. Like, why don't you just take it as a day for you? Like, love yourself on that day and love yourself via not going on social media and feeling shitty. Even if it means deleting the app for the day, or you and your friend saying, let's change each other's passwords so that we, like, actually are forced to not check.
Yeah, I feel like some people just are like, it's not gonna affect me, and then they realize it does, and then other people are like, oh, it's fine. Or some people are just gluttons for punishment, which sometimes you doom scroll, and then you're like, why did I do this? This made me feel worse, But no, it can be kind of tough, especially if you're just kind of like, okay, like, I mean, I can't speak for, I mean, it's probably tough for any age group, but I mean, the fact that I'm 24 and I'm feeling behind, and I'm like, whatever, I'm like, I'm 24.
You're so
Like,
young.
yes, that's so an adult. It's fine. It's not, you're not like a tiny baby, but like, it's so young.
You're so
And
young.
so it's just kind of reality checking. Okay, like, golly, just get a grip. And it's not to say that only like younger people should be okay being single. Like, whatever age you are, if you're single on Valentine's Day, like, I think that that's okay, and you don't have to have a person to feel like that day is meaningful or
Yeah.
anything. But something that I kind of was laughing about, I was like, so I'm Catholic, and I was like, watch this be the first year that I have a boyfriend on Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day is also Ash Wednesday. And I was like, it's like the most penitential time, and I'm gonna have a boyfriend. It's gonna be horrible. I don't have a boyfriend. So I'm like, okay, well, it's Ash Wednesday. This is great. but no, I feel like it's just important to not feed yourself things that you just don't need to see. And that doesn't mean you hate the people on social media. It just means like, you just don't need to see that right now. It's not good for you.
You don't. And also with that, like, I would say maybe also avoid going to restaurants on Valentine's Day too, because it's just going to be couples. And here's the thing with when it comes to Valentine's Day, the only thing you're missing out on is like overpriced chocolate and overpriced restaurants and impossible to get reservations. So you're actually not missing out on anything. Just like maybe plan ahead and decide you're going to order in your favorite sushi, or you're going to treat yourself to this truffle pasta dish you had once at this Italian restaurant and you've been dying to go back, but you know what? You're going to have it cozy on your couch with blankets and a movie. Like, plan ahead what you're going to do to make that day a good day for you. That's all that matters.
No, I think it's good to be proactive too, because I mean, there have been years where I'm like, it's not going to affect me, like whatever. And I don't have any plans. And then I get sad that I don't have plans because everybody else on the planet has plans with their significant other. And I'm like, that's not true, but it made me feel like that. So sometimes planning things kind of almost in spite of like, okay, yeah, it's a special day, but it could be a special day for me too. It doesn't have to be like Valentine's Day. It can just be like a fun night.
Yeah. Or you and your friend could say like, let's both have like a $30 budget and like, let's get each other a gift and just do that. Easy.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. But before we leave, tell everybody kind of where they can find you.
Yes, thank you. This was so much fun and absolutely flew by. You guys can check out Seeing Other People wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also check out Life in Progress wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me on Instagram at Seeing Other People, Alana Dunn, or It's Life in Progress.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.